Hey, this is Levi. We have Travis and Nate here with me. Today, we're taking some questions that we've had throughout the years of people just trying to figure out what's happening with the Bible and the world in which we live. Some of these are a little bit easier than others, but maybe they're questions that you have. One of the questions that I remember, and I think this is Disney promoted, is do pets go to heaven? I don't know about your mom and dad, but when your little doggy died, Nate, did your mommy tell you that your dog went to heaven?
Dude, you know, I never, ever, ever have had a pet.
What?
Okay, that's...
I did not know
really,
that.
Really sad, dude. Let's get him a pony.
We would watch, like, neighbors' dogs and stuff like that. I'd go over to neighbors' houses, and when they went out of town, we would watch their kids, or their kids, their pets.
I thought you guys had a cat, and your mom and dad left them behind when they moved here.
Oh, they had a cat, but when we were growing up, I never, ever had a pet. Yeah.
Not even, ever. Like...
Never. Do they treat you like a pet?
Not even a fish, not even a gerbil, not a hermit crab, nothing. No pets. But yeah, I actually got this question from people before too.
Not even like the one at school that you got to take home over the weekend.
No, no.
Little hermit crab type thing?
No. I actually watched my friend's hermit crabs and they all died.
Well, maybe.
Under your watch?
Yep. It's kind of sad.
I'm not asking you to watch my dog.
I can take your dog.
I know you'd take my dog. I love my dog, so I'm not going to give him to you.
Your dog stinks. Anyway.
He likes to roll around and stuff.
Anyway, how about you, Travis, with your parents?
So it's kind of sad, actually, because we used to live kind of in farm country before the town populated. And so we had a bunch of fields in the back of our house. And so I lost a lot of pets back there when they'd go through with the combines and stuff. And my mom never told me that they would go to heaven, but she would just like, you know, Wally was the one cat, big furry guy. Wally just went away is what I got told. So.
Wally?
Wally the cat. We adopted him. He already had a name. He was a definite Wally.
Wally, huh? Oh, yeah. My parents never told me that. I think they just told me that the dog died. And I had to deal with the emotion of that and whatnot. So Curly was my first dog.
You're going to laugh at Wally and your dog's name was Curly.
It had curly hair.
Wally had fluffy hair.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. But the Bible talks about the breath of life and that all things that have breath in them are living beings created by God. So that states that both man and animals have the breath of life in them that comes from God. But the primary difference, I think, in Scripture is that animals are not made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 through 27 talks about this idea of man being kind of the crown jewel of creation, being made in the likeness or in the image of God. And so the question, do dogs go to heaven? Or, I guess, pets, but that's the only real pet is a dog in my mind. So, amen. No offense, cat people.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't even have a pet. Amen.
You know, the other thing is that God gave us dominion over animals. And it wasn't until, when is it that we got to eat animals?
After Noah.
Yeah, it's Genesis 9, is that?
Yeah.
It talks about that.
Yeah.
And so prior to that, we weren't eating animals in that way, but he gave it over to us as to have dominion over that. But you're still taking the life of a living creature, and what happens when that living creature is no longer breathing? And so I think that's the root of the question. The answer is, I don't know if dogs actually go to heaven. I don't think they have a soul in the same sense of as a person. But I do believe that there will be pets in the new kingdom. Revelations talks about this in this new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away and the sea was no more. But I think that there could be pets there. I think that there could be animals there. I think that it will be, in one sense, this creation that is what it once was and but better. Think back pre-sin. Not that we have any kind of framework for that other than no destruction, no sin, no lying, no hate. But that was how Adam and Eve, when they came into existence by God's breath being breathed into them, lived. What do you guys think on this one?
Yeah, I want to have a pet in heaven. I think I'm tracking with you. I do think that there's definitely going to be animals there. With creation being restored to what it should have been, that gives you a lot more opportunity to have some really cool pets. So I'm probably going to ride on an albino tiger and possibly a buffalo. Those are going to be my pets. But you can have a pet in heaven, Nate.
Sweet.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm allergic to so many things, and so having a cat would not work. And
you should get a little pet
having
pig.
A dog. Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be miniature. Really awesome.
I actually like that idea a lot.
You should do that. Your but kids need an animal.
Keep them outside, and that doesn't work very well in the winter up here.
Why do you have to keep them outside?
I like my domain and my house. It's my sanctuary.
And for a century, they lived right next door or right like in the same domain.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, I think animals.
You don't want to be like Jesus? I don't know.
Okay. I think animals will be in God's kingdom. And when Jesus comes and returns and sets up his kingdom, and it seems to be that there will be like animal sacrifices and that kind of thing. So animals must be around. But we also want to eat meat. So they'll probably be around for that too. But yeah. but it's hard to say, right?
Beef jerky in heaven.
Ooh, beef jerky in heaven.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no more death in heaven. And so I think my debate on that would be like, the pigs like flip over and you get like, just take off a nice strip of delicious bacon.
And then he hops back up and goes about his business.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And it just like kind of reform. I don't know how it's going to work.
Kind of like a Simpson episode that I saw.
That might be where I got that from. That's not from the Bible, folks.
Yeah, but scripture doesn't really say a lot about it. And, you know, if you had a really close attachment to a pet growing up, I can see why you would want to have that pet in heaven and be able to hang out with him again and go on your adventures in the woods that you used to do growing up with your dog or cat or gerbil or whatever you did. But yeah, so, I mean, scripture doesn't give a lot of support to it, but the idea of returning kind of to the way things were before sin, like in the Garden of Eden, where animals were very peaceful. And
yeah, Isaiah talks about the millennial kingdom too. You have the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf are all together, you know, and the little child shall lead them. And there's still this picture of humanity being over the animals, but that the animals are still there.
Yeah.
So one of the interesting questions that I had from back a few years was from a middle school boy. And it kind of is in the same vein of what we're talking about, but he was asking, what do you think about food in heaven? Are we going to have food? Is there going to be like a bountiful spread, a delicious buffet, have you, up in heaven?
How do you have a banquet table and no food?
Well, so that's what they asked. And like, what is it specifically that you're going to eat? And I think Jesus talked about that with his time on earth when he said, I won't drink of this cup of the vine again until he's in heaven, right? I think that's out of Mark, if I remember. I think that's where it's at.
It's a number of gospels.
But then he talked about when he returned and he went to the disciples, and what was the first thing he asked them for? Piece of boiled fish. Dude was hungry. So, I mean, I think that we're going to be able to eat in heaven. I think we're going to have better things than we have here. It's kind of the same idea as the animals will be restored, and I'm going to eat delicious baby back ribs smoked to perfection. That's what I'm going to have.
Nice. Yum.
Maybe they'll eat tofu ribs, but they'll taste like baby back because it's heaven.
I hope
that
so.
That sounds awesome too.
If it tastes like tofu, I'm going to pass on that till dinner time. So
I actually find a snack. Like tofu.
Okay. We don't even have anything to say to that other than.
But the second part of that question was like, will you even need to eat?
Sure.
And I think we probably don't need to eat. I mean, our bodies are going to be completely different. You think we're going to need to eat?
Yes.
You think it'll be necessary?
Yes. Yes. If you're going to have a physical body, which the scriptures. So otherwise, like, did Adam and Eve need to eat? Yes. You know, like, and so if you're going to have a glorified body, it's still going to be a physical body. It's still designed by God. And there's still elements of that need to be happening.
Revelation 7:16 says that they shall be hunger no more and they shall neither thirst no more. So that's where I'm drawing that from.
That's spiritual. Come on.
But it could be physical too. I mean, what if God's just like, hey, you don't have to eat, but you get to.
You got to go back to what Jesus said.
I would miss eating.
So you know Jesus, right? But you still get thirsty for water, don't you?
True.
Even though Jesus said you will thirst no more.
True.
Good golly, people.
Well, it could just be referring to the fact that there's plenty and you'll never be away from something that could quench your thirst. But I mean,
Gatorade
the tree of life.
Everywhere.
The tree of life will have fruit that we can eat and.
Yeah, I don't think we could conceive of a world where we can't eat.
I know, because it's pretty enjoyable when you sit down to a delicious meal. God created us that way.
Even a non-really delicious meal is pretty good.
If you're starving, yeah.
Nice. Well, I had a question recently asked of me, and that was, how do we know that the Bible is true? It was a really young boy asking the question, and so I was trying to frame, okay, how can I express this in a way that would be easy for him to understand? And so we're kind of going through this idea of archaeology. When you go to like the places where the Bible talks about things happening in the land of Israel, and you dig in the ground and you can see places that used to exist and settlements and cities, and you end up finding lots of things that the Bible refers to. And that confirms that the Bible was addressing something that actually happened back in the day. And so that would be one example. And another example is through prophecy, that the Bible talks about some future events and we see those future events have come true, and there's some future events that have yet to happen. And so the Bible indicates that it's true in that case as well. And we are looking forward to some of those events taking place, including the reign of Jesus and his kingdom one day. Yeah. And then the Bible is very true just to our experiences. The fact that our good works oftentimes have motives that are not the purest. And so scripture talks about that and how if we were to try to do our own thing and pursue our own sense of justice and morality, that we would still not live up to that standard.
And it's the greatest selling book of all time. Millions of people can't be wrong, right?
Yeah, I think that there's also just evidence in the manuscript. If we look at any book, like How Do You Know? It's the very question of it. And there's a manuscript evidence in that they're the historicity of the scripture is fairly clear in that. I love the story of the little boy who finds the Dead Sea Scrolls, and was that 1948 or something like that? He's cruising through, you know, he's got his little goats and he's, you know, watching them. He throws a rock up into these caves and here's some shattering. And he goes up there and he finds the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is from the Qumran
community. Yeah.
Community. And they match perfectly. And that's the interesting part, is that all the manuscripts and all the proof that we have throughout the ages, there is very, very little difference between one to the next. So there is this consistency in that. Another evidence for me in is the Bible is true is if you read about Jesus' brother, like Jesus' brother doesn't actually believe that he's the son of the living God when he's alive. It's not until he's resurrected that he believes. What would you have to do in order for your sibling to believe you are the son of God and not just lock you up, right? Like he doesn't believe, but then he does believe and actually writes one of the books of the Bible. And I think that there's some just that type of evidence, even the disciples, those risking their life. I'm not risking my life for something I don't believe is absolutely true. I'm abandoning that. And it's not like they were making loads of money off of this thing. They were actually losing their homes, losing their families, losing all of that stuff, being put into prison by Saul. You have some history there of just looking at those types of things, situational history, in that you probably wouldn't hold tight to those types of things if you didn't know. And the very reason Jesus dying on the cross, they saw him die, they saw him go into the cave, and all of a sudden they're going, nope, we're gonna pretend he's alive, guys. This is gonna be really great for us, and we're all gonna get our heads basically cut off. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest proofs for me is you touched on that briefly, Nate, was the prophecies found throughout scripture that have been been fulfilled. There's something like over 1,800 biblical prophecies that can be proved or that cannot be refuted at all. And scholars have tried to do that over the years. They've tried to come up with contradictions to what scriptures say, and they haven't been able, of those 1,800 different prophecies, haven't been able to refute a single one. So you can lean on science on that. You can lean on history and on that. And I think for those of us that are more academically minded than others, you can hang your hat on those proofs. Any other cool questions that you guys have been asked?
The one that often comes up is the idea of suicide and the question of, does somebody actually go to hell because they commit this act of murder, really self-murder at that point? I had a situation when I was at a different church in a very different town. I had a lady call me up and she said, "Hey, my nephew has passed away. Would you do the funeral?" And before asking very much questions, I said, "Sure." And I said, who's your nephew? I didn't know him at the time. Well, she said, "You probably have heard of him." And I went, "Uh-oh, where are we going with this?" And so this guy was all over the news. And what happened was he snapped and he killed himself. It was a very difficult funeral to do. After doing some research, talking to people, trying to understand, there were like 400 people at this funeral. Story after story of this guy knowing Jesus and really having to answer that question, I think, for some people. And I think the answer to that question is no, you don't go to hell for that. There isn't anything in – it's not the unpardonable sin, as some people have said. There have been people within the scripture that have ultimately committed suicide. Samson is one that comes to my mind. He actually, it was an honorable thing that he took his life in that moment. So does God hate it? Of course he does, because it's murder. It's self-murder. But that would be like saying, if you murder somebody, can God not forgive you? Well, God can still forgive you for that. And the question that we all have it, and when we get to the pearly gates, when this life is over, is, do we know Jesus? Do we believe in the one that he has sent? That's the only question that really matters in that. Mm-hmm. And so trying to explain that to people is really kind of a difficult one. And it's always a hard kind of topic, because it's usually coming out of some type of pain that they've experienced. They've experienced some pain in their lives where someone has done that. And the hard part about suicide is it never just hurts the person. It always has this huge ripple effect. I remember doing that funeral and talking and watching this man's children who were sitting in the very front row and trying to explain that dad had some things to talk to Jesus about, yet really trying to go, hey, it still is really about that relationship with Christ. We still do bad things or stupid things. The Apostle Paul did stupid things. Romans chapter 7, the doo-doo passage, as I like to call it. I don't do what I want to do type of a thing. So where are you guys at on that?
Yeah, I think that's really well said. The important part is once again reminding people that what Jesus did for us is more than sufficient to take care of every sin, every evil deed, every thought that we've had. And so really pointing people to understand, like, Jesus is the answer. He is sufficient. His arms are big enough, and he loves us enough to take care of every sin, every evil that we do. And so to rely upon him and his sufficiency in those times is super important. And to remember that he is grieved and he is hurt by those actions that we take sometimes. And so we can fall into his loving arms.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is that Satan wants you to destroy yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so one of the things that I want to make sure that we're very clear, we don't think it's okay. It doesn't mean that you go to hell, though. And if you are thinking about suicide, call for help. 1-800-SUICIDE, dial help. Is another place you can call. You can call us, and we'd love to talk with you. It is not the right way to go. It is of Satan. The scriptures tell us that Satan, he roams around looking for someone he can devour. And if you're thinking about that, he's trying to devour you. He's trying to take the very life that God has given you. And don't do that. And Jesus is truly the answer to those things. I think that's all the time we have.
Yeah, we always would love to hear from you guys. And as Pastor Levi was saying, if you're out there and you're hurting and this is something that you're struggling with, reach out, get some help, call. We are happy to talk to you guys. You can always send us an email. It's travis@evangelup.org. You can give us a call here at the church, 482-6626. Don't walk it alone. God loves you. You've got people out there that love you. And even though it might seem bleak, just reach out and get some help. And so we just want to invite you guys to let's just pray, because there's a lot of hurt out there. Father, we come before you and we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us, even though we are all sinners and we all fall short of your glory. We recognize that we need you and we need your Son. And that's why you sent that wonderful gift of grace and mercy and love. And God, if we're struggling today, if anybody out there is struggling, I pray that they would turn to you, that they would know that there is hope, and that's hope in the living God sent through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we just pray that you would be moving hearts and prompting people to reach out to you. Even if it seems like you're the last lifeline that they have, you are the lifeline that we have, Lord, and you're the first one that we turn to. And God, I just pray for anybody out there that's in that position, that's struggling, facing maybe trials that seem unfaceable, God, that you would just give them courage to reach out and get help. There are people that love them. You love them. And God, we just ask that they would feel that love from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thanks, guys. This has been Pearls and Swine at Evangel Community Church. If you've got any questions or any other topics that you'd like to chat with us about, shoot us an email, travis@evangelup.org. Take care and have a good day.